The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, is Professor Danielle Maxwell.
It's good to be here.
Yes. You know why it's good to be here? Because we put those pictures out on Facebook the other day, and I think it was you that said something like, oh, what a great way to end every week, and what a great way to end a semester.
Oh, nice. Yes, it is.
The pictures
best
came
way.
Out good.
I was almost lifelike, I thought.
We're almost human.
Yes, and those fall colors, absolutely gorgeous.
Yep.
Love it.
Oh, and just to let you guys know, I will be taking those photos, I will be doctoring them up, and I will be moving our location.
What will my head be?
Don't worry about it.
Like the moon?
Oh, you've cool. seen this before, haven't you, Matt?
No, I've seen what you can do.
Because it is the last weekend of the Eras Tour, so if we could all be on the Eras Tour stage.
Oh, my word. My word.
It's been a long
can you
year
put Taylor on there with us?
Of course. She,
swimming.
She is very tall, so just make sure you get the right height.
Okay. I'm pretty sure the last concert I went to, the tickets were $12.50.
Yeah.
And that might have been to see the Police.
Like $1,250, because that is an Eras Tour concert ticket price.
I can't even fathom paying. I wouldn't pay that much to see. Well, I've already seen.
Well, you wouldn't pay that to sit in Springsteen's lap. Maybe. Oh, I got her thinking.
I actually watched this documentary on HBO called Yacht Rock.
Mm. Oh, Yacht Rock. Yeah.
Which is like all my, literally, Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, Kenny Loggins, all of these guys I absolutely adore. And I was thinking, well, if I'd gotten to kiss Michael McDonald in that video,
seriously,
I wrote him a letter when I was like in junior high. And he wrote me back. It was very nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. What can I say?
Sent me a picture. Thank you for your very nice letter. And I'm like, yeah, then you went and married one of your backup singers, didn't you?
Auto
broke
sign.
My heart.
Jeez.
How dare he?
I know.
You know, Professor Aaron Bell is here with us today, director of Detroit Mercy's writing program. And Reading Center. Are you also in charge of the Reading program?
No, that is my wonderful colleague, Dr. Garcia.
But got it. Elena.
We're simpatico and we're like definitely in collaboration. So.
Got it. So which celebrity from your youth did you write a letter to and get a letter back from?
So I actually have several examples, but I know for a class assignment, I and this might be controversial in this group, I wrote a letter to Bono. Really, really into U2 in fifth grade, so much so that I did, in fact, write a letter. I received a letter back from a really kind person named Cecilia. I still remember this. It was like, Cecilia, that's such a pretty name. And I got a U2 postcard.
Aww,
so nothing from Bono, but
awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, I thought it was really neat.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us today.
Yes.
And how are you?
I'm good.
I'll push the whole, you know, what celebrity have you attempted to contact?
Well,
thing,
my favorite story about that is when I was in college, I was in the Glee Club and we were on tour in New York.
Ooh.
And I got to see Diana Rigg
on
stage at the St. James Theater in Molière's, Molière's played The Misanthrope. I wasn't that fond of the play, but I was very fond of Diana Rigg. In fact, a friend of mine and I snuck backstage afterwards and actually got to chat with her for a couple of minutes at her stage door before the stage manager rushed us off. But I not only wrote to her, but I sent her flowers. And I got a really nice note from her thanking me from the flower and remembering the group that I was with, because it was like a Tuesday night and it was mostly a geriatric audience except for us all males from a college. We were very enthusiastic.
And yet you still have not seen Evil Under the Sun? The movie?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay, because I was like, Maggie Smith and Diana Rigg are so hilarious.
I love Diana Rigg.
All right, Professor Dan Maggio, you know what's coming.
I don't.
What is your favorite color? No, I'm just kidding.
Blue, no red.
You go tumbling into the valley.
Yep.
I mean, never written a letter.
It's okay. It's okay. It's quite all right.
The two of us. Yay.
High five. How are things going, Dan?
Pretty good.
Staying warm,
getting ready for Christmas, and, you know.
That's what it's all about.
Recovering. I was sick. I had COVID.
Ay, caramba.
So you're welcome for Notch.
Yeah.
For me, Notch.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
I look
you
forward
much.
To getting it for my eighth time.
Oh, my God.
I think think there's like some laboratory out there. It's like, okay, we have a new strain of Corona. We must test it on Matt Mayo.
Yes,
he gets every strain of Corona there is.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely do.
No matter what vaccines.
Were you vaccinated, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I forgot to get it. It didn't matter. Even my brother and my sister-in-law got COVID back in Pennsylvania, and they canceled Thanksgiving because of that.
Oh,
and they had been vaccinated.
They had been vaxxed.
They had just got done flying. So.
Yeah, it really is a fast-moving virus, that is for sure.
I got it once, and I thought I had I thought I had allergies, because that's what it was like. Mm-hmm. The back of my throat was closed up.
That's it?
Like when I had allergies as a kid in the spring. Goodness. And no, it turned out it was COVID, but it wasn't very severe.
Okay.
I'll make you a new punch card to go with your no punch card.
That would be nice.
The 10th COVID will do something special.
I actually have my COVID card in my wallet, so I can just get it punched at this point.
I've got mine online, so.
All right, Dave.
Yes?
What are you seeing next door? What's going on next door?
Next door, next
to your
door.
House.
Oh, I don't know yet.
The new people in the neighborhood.
All I know is they've put up shears. We can't look in.
Oh, okay, all right.
Is this on the empty lot side or other side?
No, the other side. It's the house that's been vacant for about 18 years.
Oh. Seriously.
Wow.
I mean, they've made some modest improvements.
If you say so.
Modest.
Shears.
It has a door,
well,
right?
Well, here's the thing. We see cars in the driveway.
That's a big
deal. We see lights inside. But the one thing that kind of throws me is like, we haven't seen any furniture moved in yet.
No. Have you gone over and introduced yourself?
No, they were installing gutters and they introduced themselves to us.
So there's people living
waved,
there too.
So.
Okay, all right. Professor Beth Oljar, just to finish off a solid fall semester.
That's right.
With some seriously wintry weather, what more can I say?
Yes, it's been very chilly outside.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I mean, not as chilly as when we've got those Arctic, seven
polar
degrees.
Vortexes.
Yeah,
sissy
polar
stuff.
Vortexes.
Oh, gosh, listen to this guy over here.
Still pretty chilly.
Here, let me text my friends back in Erie, Pennsylvania, and see if they give you any pity.
Yeah, exactly.
They will not,
Lake
I'm
effect.
Sure.
I had lunch with a colleague who's leaving and is going to be teaching in Omaha. I was thinking,
No.
I'll take Detroit.
Yeah. Well, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had questions about temperature. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We haven't even gotten off the ground yet in the fact that this is our annual sort of end of year holiday show, and we've got some really good questions sent in here. Dear Matt and professors, we saw the need for annual holiday questions. Hope these questions arrive in time for you to use. Thank you again for the great entertainment and fun this year. Sincerely, and happy holidays to all the profs, our good friend Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington. So
thanks
for
Beverly.
Sending those in. Perfectly timed, since we're recording on my wife's birthday, a.k.a. St. Nicholas Day. What country is St. Nicholas from?
Poland, isn't it?
It doesn't say that.
Is he German?
Scandinavian.
Yeah, I was going to say Germany.
Dutch?
Nope.
Ireland?
Nope.
Oh, boy.
Italy?
Uh-oh.
Originally,
we don't have
Greece.
A map of
I know,
Europe.
Right. Like,
originally from Myra, but we call it something different now.
Greece? No.
Nope. But
Crete?
Myra?
Pretty close.
What?
Turkey is right. What they refer to themselves now
here
as.
Turkey from the great beyond.
That's right.
Myra.
Yes. Myra. When did Santa's suit become its iconic red?
Oh, this is pretty recent, isn't it?
Yeah, when
is
it's
Coca-Cola,
marketing.
Right?
Coca-Cola.
Movie related.
When Coca-Cola started.
Yeah, it's marketing.
It's based on the Coke campaign. Yeah. So the 1930s, therefore less than 100 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mean the I'd like to teach the world to sing? That
No.
Yeah.
Long
like Santa.
He was holding a small bottle of Coke
right,
the short ones.
Yeah. I know that.
So how was he portrayed before that?
It says prior to this, it could have been any number of
sometimes
colors.
Green, sometimes leather.
Mm-hmm.
The leather.
Kinky devil. Mm-hmm.
Actually, green was a big deal because I believe, from my understanding of the mythology, that Father Christmas sort of comes from the old man of the mountain, the man of the forest, and so green was like a pretty big deal there.
But
so.
Ermine fur was
right,
a big,
right.
big...
Beth's still thinking about
I just had an image of Santa and Rob Halford shopping together at a leather store, which would be really funny.
Oh,
exactly.
Man. There you go. Sorry. There you go.
The harness comes in really handy for the reindeer.
Oh, goodness. See, I knew it was going to
for the reindeer.
Yeah.
What's the last name of the family featured in the National Lampoon's movies, including Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
The Griswolds. Yes. Yeah, good one.
The Griswolds. In the first Home Alone movie, what was the destination for the McAllister family?
Paris.
Stranded Kevin at home. It's got to be pretty far, right?
What, wasn't Clausen?
Oh. It was not Clausen.
Darn.
It was Clausen nor Keego Harbor.
Google had a commercial with Macaulay Culkin in the original house.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and it's advertising, I think. Is it Google Products or Google AI? But anyway, it's a play on some of the old the movie.
Sue Andrews was at her son's house in Evanston, I think it was. And he lives two blocks away from that house.
Oh.
And they said there's always somebody in front of that house taking pictures.
Oh,
so
sure.
Cool.
Just like Cleveland in the Christmas Story.
Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure I'm looking in a Jim-ish direction for something like, what Christmas carol features the line, "Strike the harp.
Deck the halls with bells."
Join the chorus. That's right.
Well, that was fast. Like, didn't even
have to go. Danielle, you've never been here when Jim gets a Christmas carol question. That's all.
I'm terrified.
He's hard.
No, it's like Jim just answers them even before Matt reads them.
I like Christmas carols.
Christmas,
so I know
I
do too, but I don't like them like that.
In The Nightmare Before Christmas, what name does Jack Skellington give to dear old Saint Nick?
Oh my goodness.
I've only seen that once.
Time I think that it's a giveaway question, nobody gets it.
I've never seen that movie.
To say that
I've seen it so many times. No.
I've seen it a dozen times.
It's like Santa Claus, right?
Sandy Claus.
Sandy Claus.
Yeah, I knew it was a play on the name.
Yep, that's pretty good.
I thought you got it right. That's good.
We saw that movie, first run, day it came out, fall of 1993, mm-hmm. and my friend remarks to me, a friend we have in common, Santa's a bit of a bleep in that movie. It's true. Yeah. He's kind of a jerk. Yeah.
Fall of 93.
He was really angry, but you know.
The mind of Tim Burton.
Yep,
so, you know.
Exactly
well, and the other night we watched James and the Giant Peach just for sentimental sake, and Jack is in it. So.
Exactly.
That's a good one.
Still one of the best kids' books I've ever read.
Yeah.
Roald Dahl could write anything, and I would read it as a kid. I was a huge fan.
In a lot of Europe, Asia, and Africa, if you're Christian and you believe in St. Nicholas Day, last night, the night before today, kids would have left their socks and shoes out to get what from St. Nick?
Candy?
Cold feet?
It's like a coin or something?
Nuts?
No.
An orange. I don't know.
Almost always, it was something fairly exotic.
Leather.
Okay, I'm sorry. Fairly exotic for, I don't know, landlocked Central Europe. Does that help?
A boat?
Exotic. No.
A banana.
Spices?
Well, you know what? You're just one step away, Jim. I mean, it's an orange.
Orange.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Sorry. I did not hear.
I am vindicated.
Yep.
A leather orange.
Oranges.
A leather orange.
A leather orange.
Well, I can remember my grandfather telling me when he was a child that they would get an orange in their stocking.
Yeah.
I think that was great.
During the Depression,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that was in Little House on the Prairie. I almost feel like I remember it in one of the books. Like Mr. Edwards brought an orange.
Yes,
that was one of the gifts
that he brought, and a penny.
Yeah.
Laura and Mary each got a penny. Yeah. Obviously, we both read the Little House.
Big fan.
Me
too.
How many credited roles did Tom Hanks perform for the movie The Polar Express?
There was a lot.
A lot of them. What, like 10?
It's less than 10.
7.
It's 6. I'll give it to
six.
You. Yeah, 6 roles. I don't know if we want to
try
to list them.
Train Conductor is the best.
I feel like the movie's a little creepy. My kids were a little scared of the animation.
Totally
creepy.
Very creepy.
100%. Friends of mine worked on it. They said it was creepy.
The guy on top of the train's a little creepy.
So why did they decide to portray the people the way they did?
The blink ratio was off.
Yeah.
Yes.
We call it the uncanny valley, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The blink ratio.
And the train trip itself was a bit scary.
Right, it was, right?
I'm going to send you a really cool philosophical article that basically draws from evolutionary biology. I feel like we've talked about this before. And basically says, if there is something innate to every human being where we see these computer-generated things and we're like, we recognize something's off, what part of our upbringing hundreds of thousands of years ago made that important for us? Were there animals that looked so human that we had to protect ourselves from them? And I'm like, that is creepy as hell.
That's terrifying.
I'm already creeped out just talking about
it. Well, but, I mean, just in general, right, if you couldn't distinguish between what was real, what was veridical,
right,
and what wasn't, that's pretty much going to be a serious problem.
It's going
to
be an
issue. And you needed to distinguish between a big kitty and a saber-toothed tiger.
Yes.
Too. Well, right. I mean, we evolved as problem solvers, right?
Absolutely. So. Yep. What is the first elf rule from Elf?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we I just covered this in Chem Club this week. It was like the jolly happiness rule. No, wait. We just did a cahoot on this.
I love this movie. I should know this.
Why didn't I learn?
I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's so, good. It's good. It's so really good.
But I know delightful. Dan likes it.
I love that movie. This is going to kill me. I can't.
Oh, treat every day like it's Christmas.
Treat every day like it's Christmas. Yeah. Is the correct answer. Yes.
Thank you, Chem Club.
Does that mean I get lots of presents, which is heck really yeah. the only reason for Christmas to happen?
That, like, McRib is out all the time? I mean, let's go. Come on. McRib.
I will say I beat all of our students in Christmas trivia this week. I just shut them down.
And nice. Nice. You smacked those kids down, Professor Maxwell.
It is a perk of the job, actually. It is.
According to the cartoon, Frosty the Snowman's first words were,
"Happy birthday."
Happy birthday.
I was going to say, it's cold outside. I
was going to say Merry Christmas, yeah. But no.
I don't know if we've ever had something even aligned to this kind of trivia. This is pretty cool. In what city and year did the Nutcracker Ballet premiere in the U.S.?
Well, I'm going to say New York.
It wasn't New York.
Oh.
Wasn't,
yeah. Chicago?
Didn't say Chicago.
San Francisco.
Says San Francisco.
All right. All right.
But what year? This is fascinating to
1919.
Me. It has not yet been 100 years as well. Oh,
1942.
It was 44.
Wow.
So, yeah, we have our Kendra heir apparent here.
Interesting
yeah,
time I know. Frame.
1944 San Francisco. That's wild. What did Harry Potter get for his first Christmas present ever?
I don't know.
You mean when he's at Hogwarts?
When he's at Hogwarts. Mm-hmm.
Well, he gets a sweater from Ron's mom. He gets the invisibility cloak.
The invisibility his father, yes.
That'd be handy.
Ignotus Peverell's invisibility cloak. That's right. According to National Geographic Kids, how many Lego sets, oh my lord, are sold every second between the day after Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve? Oh, this is Dan all the way.
Why would you assume that I could do that?
Well, because you're Lego aligned.
On a daily basis between
every
Christmas
second.
And
every second.
On a well. Per second basis?
How many per second? Let's approach this mathematically.
Hundreds.
Well, there's...
How many seconds are there in a day?
There's 60 seconds in a minute, 3,600 seconds
I'm
in an
thinking
hour.
Thinking a fairly small number, you know, 12 or 13.
Times 20, I don't know, 37, maybe 90,000
seconds. But we're just trying to figure out the second, right?
Yeah, that's right. So how many seconds, how many days are there between Black Friday and Christmas Eve?
So
too much math.
Say a quarter of a million.
I bet he gets this. This is going to be great.
And then how many sets do you think they saw together between?
Right.
Probably 4 million.
Okay.
So I would say 8. No.
Wait.
16.
I mean, you're really close.
Is it really?
It's 28. You're at the right order of magnitude. That's great.
Oh, that's
sweet. That was impressive.
28 per second?
How Legos? Do you do that in your mind?
Okay, I thought
that
it was
is
tired,
a lot of but... sore feet.
I was watching the steam come out of Dan's ears.
That was awesome.
That was amazing.
That was just really
I'm surprised it was that close, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Kendra would be so impressed.
Yes.
So would Jeff.
Where's Jeff?
I know. He would love that, too. Not so much Christmas carol trivia, but definitely Christmas song trivia. Mm-hmm. What was the first song and in what year that actually mentioned Santa Claus by name? I don't know if I've ever heard this before.
So we need the song. Is
Here
it
Comes
Santa
Claus?
It's not Here Comes
Santa
Claus.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
It's not Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Was there an animated feature made off of it?
I mean, probably.
Was it sung by Gene Autry?
It was not. Well, it could have been. The writer of the song was Benjamin Hanby.
Who?
No idea.
Benjamin Hanby.
Which song?
It's
what
not the
year?
Fifth Beatle.
So it's not The Night White Before Christmas. Christmas?
It is not. I'll back into this by giving you the year of this song being written was 1864.
Okay,
the United States. Yes.
Oh.
That was a cheery
it's a
time.
It's a classic. You'll know it when I say it, but mentions Santa Claus by name.
Huh.
Jingle Bells?
No. Nope.
Well, the book was only written, the story was only written in the 1840s.
That's right. So this is just a couple decades after that.
Oh, monopolizing on the fad.
It really caught on.
Let's see.
I've lost all Christmas tree.
No, that doesn't mention Santa.
This is the last question from Beverly Set, too. So man. This is interesting.
Sorry, Beverly.
I mean, I will give it away, but I still think it's fun. There's probably only one Christmas song / carol that goes click, click, click.
The roof.
Bells ringling.
Oh.
Jingle bells?
My remote broke? What?
Oh, no. Click, down click. Come the chimney with old Saint Nick.
Hold on.
Yo ho ho, who would know? Yo ho ho, who would know?
But what is it?
Up on the housetop.
Up on the housetop. Click, click, click.
Yep, Gene Autry did record that.
Okay, well there you go. Up on the housetop.
Up on the housetop.
Click, click, click.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Otis Redding when you said that. That's all. No, I'm sorry.
I guess I thought that was far more contemporary than it was.
Wow. Me too. I was.
Well, I'm sure. Pretty old. A thousand people recorded it.
Pretty old. All right. Well, let's move on to another set of questions. Thanks again, Beverly.
But wait, there's more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dear Matt and Profs, heeding your call for Christmas holiday show, 12 questions with animated Christmas shows for you. Ooh. The professors to ring in the holidays. Enjoy. Sincerely and happy holidays, our good friend Rachel Ralston. That's awesome. Thank you.
About peanuts and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
There you go. Or which 1964 stop motion animated special feature features a character who wants to be a dentist?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's Hermie, right?
Hermie.
Yes. That's my noise.
The elf. Yep.
That's so cute.
In the Frosty the Snowman cartoon, what, or maybe let's do it this way, who brings Frosty to life?
It's the little girl, whose name I can't remember.
Actually, someone accidentally brings him to life first.
Is it the professor?
Professor Hinkle is his name.
The guy with the hat.
Professor Hinkle.
Yep. Who's the main villain in the cartoon Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Meister?
Yeah. You got it.
Burgermeister.
Burgermeister.
Meister, yeah. Meister guy. It was a TikTok trend. That's the reason
that's
why I know
so
that.
Silly. Oh, my gosh. In A Charlie Brown Christmas, Schroeder is only seen playing what song on his piano?
Beethoven.
Yeah. What is it? What song?
Beethoven's 10th, Ode to Joy.
I don't know.
Moonlight Sonata.
Ode to Joy?
That's the Ode to Joy.
Yeah, sorry.
The other Beethoven song.
I don't know this.
Well, he technically plays Jingle Bells.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
Ding, ding, ding.
The first one that he plays is Fur Elise. Yes.
It's a very famous.
In Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what is the name of Rudolph's love interest?
Oh my gosh, I totally know this. You know this. I know you
know
this.
Hold on,
I can picture her in my mind.
I can't think of her name.
We show the Rankin and Bass to our kids when they're
growing
up.
Oh, I know this.
And there was only two possible reactions. Utter horror or just laughing hysterically at things that are not meant to be laughed at. I'm like, whatever.
Clara or something like that?
You're really close. It's Clarice.
Have the lamb stop screaming?
Yeah, because you remember put the mud on the nose and you sounded all nasally and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was shameful. Really funny.
Rhinoplasty.
Gosh.
I remember being really upset by Rudolph because they were mean to him.
Absolutely.
They were absolute bullies, and we got over that too fast.
Oh, no. And you want to know, the scary part was Donner was supposedly the father of Rudolph, and Donner's one of the ones picking on him.
Yeah, it was not good.
I have a real issue with how society just forgot how those reindeer picked on him, and they're all celebrating him on Christmas.
It really upset me. I cried and had to go talk to my sister until I calmed down.
Seriously.
Until you had venison that night, and then you were all good.
They were bad reindeer.
I had reindeer in Alaska. It was very good.
Disney's Mickey's Christmas Carol. Who plays the part of Jacob Marley?
The duck,
right?
Donald?
Wait. Donald. Is it Goofy?
Goofy. No.
Goofy.
Okay.
Goofy. Yeah, also Goofy.
He'd be perfect for the
Scrooge
part.
Is not Marley.
True. Yeah, he's kind of gangly looking. So.
Yeah.
Well, really the point of A Christmas Carol is to show that the rich must always be traumatized by some sort of visiting ghost before they'll give anything to the poor.
What, paranormal? Jeez.
That and the fact that every single time I've ever leaned out of a second story window, I always point at someone and go, "You there, boy, what day is it?
You there, boy, what day is it?"
In Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who helps Rudolph and his friends escape from the clutches of the abominable snowman?
Klondike.
Yukon.
Yukon Sam?
Yeah, Yukon Sam, that's it.
Nope.
No.
Yukon.
I thought you were going to say it. Yukon Cornelius.
Yukon Cornelius.
Well, I was just repeating what Dave said.
Oh, right. No. I'm thinking Cornelius is Planet from the Apes.
Another Rankin and Bass special, if you ever saw the little drummer boy, he actually had a name in the...
Ringo.
It wasn't Ringo.
Pete Best?
Bingo.
I mean, I can give it to you as a clue from the Bible. Do you remember who Moses' brother is supposed to be?
Aaron.
Aaron is his name. Yes, that's right. A.K.A.
No, not E-R-I-N.
A-A-R-O-N. A-Ron.
There we go.
Okay, I was going to say.
A-A-Ron. Or A-A-Ron.
Best part of the Lions game last night was Keegan-Michael Key at the desk before.
What about Tarek Skubal?
Well, that was good, too, but... Keegan-Michael Key, he's
cool. He's special.
Falling to your knees, passing the ball. There are so many good moments.
No, it's true.
He's an alum, though, so.
Yeah, and he's right. He's funny. Yep. He is very funny.
Oh, my gosh. In Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Oh, there it is. Who's Rudolph's father? Yeah.
Donner.
Donner. Is his, not the Donner Party, but Donner.
The Donner Party is friendlier. So.
Yeah, exactly. What is the name of the little girl who's friends with Frosty the Snowman in the cartoon?
Oh, for the love of...
Is it Lisa or Jenny or Sarah?
Pretty easy for me to give a clue on this one.
Okay.
What is the stereotypical female-leaning name given to people who want to call the manager?
Karen.
Yes, her name was Karen.
That's right.
I feel bad for all people named Karen.
I do, too. Yes. Very
That's
common
not going
What's
away
the male equivalent to Karen, anyway?
I think it's Steve.
Chad.
We can call it Matt.
Okay.
Matt is the equivalent.
But there is a male version of Karen.
What is it?
I think it's Steve or Bob.
Actually, I think it's Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob or Bob.
My kids have an Uncle Bob, and I do feel bad about that one.
He could be Robert now.
Yeah. Only three voice actors appear in the credits for The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That was Chuck Jones, right? So who are the three voices?
Boris Karloff.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
And June Foray.
What?
In the order that I have here.
So she must have been the voice of Cindy Lou.
Cindy Lou, yeah.
Who was no more than two.
That's right, exactly.
Thurl did the singing and Boris did the narrating.
Thurl Ravenscroft. Every year when these questions come up,
Tony the Tiger.
Most likely to be known as the voice of Tony the Tiger, but he will always be the voice of the Haunted Mansion at Disney World to me. In Santa Claus is Coming to Town, what's the name of the postman who tells the story of where Santa came from?
That was Fred Astaire, wasn't it?
It is Fred Astaire, but that wasn't his name. No.
Postman Fred.
No, it was initials and then something.
Yeah.
This wasn't the Burgermeister?
No.
It was that story.
He had the half-track.
He was the narrator.
He had that little half-track.
He did.
Car or vehicle.
Oh, that's right.
Like Special Delivery Smith or something.
Wow. I've given it to you.
Okay.
It was like S.D. Kluger was his name.
Kluger?
And like, what does the S.D. stand for? Special Delivery.
That's it.
You all are hardcore as they come. I don't even know what else to say. Like,
Kluger. Not Freddy.
Yes.
Kluger.
Not Freddy. Not the same as Freddy's last name.
Gosh, we only have a few seconds left, and we hope that everybody who hears our voices here today has a very peaceful end to 2024 and a very good beginning to 2025.
We're going to need it.
Yes, first day of classes, Monday, January 6th.
Don't remind me.
Yeah,
it's going to be
interesting. But I'm so sorry. The time has come for us to say goodbye, Beth.
Merry Christmas.
Dave.
See ya.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Aaron.
Adieu.
And Danielle.
One semester down, 59 to go.
And now these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.